Father, it has been one of those wonderful, blessed days in your house already. We have been filled with your word. We have been challenged by decisions. We have enjoyed a project that is outreach across the worlds that we can never make to. So, Father, we are rejoicing in you today. Bless through the remainder of this service. Help me to remember the things that I have studied. And let me lift up Jesus Christ and him only for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. It has been one of those days that I truly enjoy in every way. It's always a pleasure to take a little one and with parents present him and them to the Lord. We as a body have that privilege often in our lives. And I pray that you will pray for Carolyn and Onan as they raise those three children. I don't know if anything is as important as parents who take their children and bring them into God's house so they can be fed the Word of God. I know they can do it at home. But I tell you, nothing is better than the cooperation of one another in the Word of God and life. Take your Bible and open them with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I'm going to read to you one verse of Scripture in just a moment. I worked hard this week in preparing so I could put all of these verses I'm going to give you on the screen. And they're on my computer. So you just take your Bible and I'm going to guide you through where we're going. Here is the title of the message: Living in God's Fullness of Joy. Boy, that's been the theme this morning. Do y'all notice that? It has. The Sunday school lesson. But Robert preached part of a sermon. He generally always does. That's all right. We're thankful for all that God does. But I want to challenge you, not only today, but in some weeks that are coming up, that you and I need to live in this fullness of joy that God bestows upon us. And I plan to do that. Lord willing, I will be in the book of Philippians. There are four chapters. I will be there for a few Sundays coming up along the way. Philippians has been classified as a joyful letter. But let me tell you something that I firmly believe, that if you and I can master the truths found in the book of Philippians, we can live in fullness of joy. Now, I'm not saying you're going to always be happy. There's a big difference. I'm saying that you can and should enjoy the fullness of joy because God gives that to us. Every individual, every one of you here this morning who has placed his or her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior has the privilege of experiencing fullness of joy. Notice I said has the experience. You can have it. The psalmist declared the means. There are three things in this particular verse of Scripture, Psalm 16, verse 11. If you want to look at it, fine. If you want to write it down, fine. But you remember this. He says there, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Isn't that great? God is going to show us the path for our lives. My life is different than your life. Your life is different than the person sitting beside you. But God is going to show you the path of life. In thy presence, or in his presence, is fullness of joy. When you are living and walking in harmony with God, guess what? You can enjoy fullness of joy. At the right hand, now listen, number three, at the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now the world tells you that if you know Christ and you're following Christ, you're living a drab, dull life. Listen to me. Scripture says we have pleasures forevermore. You understand that? We have pleasures forevermore in our lives. It has been said Christians often live under a cloud of disappointment when they should be walking in the sunshine of joy. How tragic that we'd walk around like that. Paul, the author of Philippians, was treated in such awful, ungodly ways that reasonableness or reasonable thinking says he truly has no reason for joy. When you look at his life and you look at what went on, you'd say, this man cannot have joy. Yet in spite of his danger, in spite of his discomfort, in spite of his ill treatment, Paul overflowed with joy. At least 19 times in the four chapters of Philippians, Paul mentions joy, rejoice, rejoicing, or gladness. Think about that. 19 times in four chapters, he's talking about that. As we look at the book, which we'll get started with next week, we'll find Paul's use of another word, and this is vital and this is important. And that little word is M-I-N-D, the mind. Our minds are there. You see, we who are Christians, born again, must establish wherein our faith lies. We know there are many ups and downs in the Christian life. We know that. We all have ups and downs. We all have things that are tough. We all have sadness. Somebody that we love passes away. Yes. We get ill. Yes. Doctor says you got cancer. Yes. So many things in life. There's always those struggles. Paul says, listen, everybody's alike. You don't have temptations, you don't have problems, you don't have struggles that are not the common lot of man. Everybody has that in our lives. We must focus. We must get the mindset right. And that focus must be on the Word of God and His great promises. If you never get into the Word of God, you can't understand this. Because our focus, my friends, has to be in the Word of God and the promises that God has given us. When we are there, we can and will live and walk in full joy. This morning, I will share what I've chosen to call four thieves, which rob us of joy. Four things in our life. Now, I know there's a whole lot of other things, but I believe all of them can be fitted into one of these in our lives. So hang on, here we go. The first thief, circumstances. We've already heard a little bit about circumstances this morning. But most of us will readily confess that when all is going well, things are going my way, all my bills are paid, I've got a few dollars in the bank, I feel joyful. And certainly, I am much easier to live with when all things are going well. But we know, every one of us know, that many circumstances in life are not under our control. How about the weather? Can you control it? Yeah. It is whatever God chooses, folks. There are good days, no doubt bad days. Why is it that we can't get up on a day when the snow is falling? And we don't like snow. Perhaps you don't. I do. But it's just a bad day. The wind is blowing. Everything is going downhill. And so we walk around with our faces hanging down to the bottom of our chest. Why? Why is it that we cannot just get up in the morning and say, thank you, God. Guess what? I am alive. I am alive. I'm upright. You've given me one more day in which I can serve you in my life. Oh boy, you ever get in trouble with traffic? You ever find yourself gripping a steering wheel? What are you doing, idiot? Okay? And we're the idiot. Because we have allowed something that we cannot control to control us. That same thing with what people say and what people do in our past. We allow it to upset us, but folks, we cannot control it. Why do we allow it to control us in life? Now, you got your Bible? I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. I want to share this verse and just keep it there because we're going to look at some other verses as we move along. But listen, as we take a look at Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look down here at verses 1 through 12. Jesus, seeing the multitude, he went up in the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Oh, what a beautiful set of chapters the next two or three are. Great multitude, so he went up in the mountain, kind of get to himself, and his disciples came to meet him. And so he wanted to help them to learn how to deal with life as it was going to be when he is gone. And he said these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Isn't that great? Isn't that great? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when all men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice." Oh boy, God. Hold on. You're telling us that we're going to be persecuted. You're telling us we're going to have a lot of troubles in life. "Rejoice," he says, "and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you." Looking ahead. Today may be tough, folks. Tomorrow may be great. We may wake up in the morning in heaven. You ever think about that? I've told you before, my earnest prayer almost every evening is, "Lord, I'm about to go to sleep." Now, that doesn't happen sometimes for an hour and a half, 2 hours laying in bed struggling to get to sleep. But I'm going to go to sleep. Now, if you're ready for me to go home, will you do it when I'm sound asleep and wake up in heaven? Woo! I'd love that. I don't know if he's going to give it to me, but it doesn't keep me from wanting it, okay? So think about that. Now, the second thief. The first thief is just the circumstances of life. We know that. The second thief is people. I just talked a little bit about that. I dare say that we have lost our joy at times because of some individual, what they said or what they did. It might even be family. It might have been a spouse because they said something or because you ran into it or whatever it was. You just lost the joy of your life because of something that was said. We cannot isolate ourselves, folks. It's not healthy. I think we discovered that as we dealt with the recent pandemic. If you pay any attention, we're getting a lot of reports now about what happened because we were isolated by ourselves. The sadness, many took their own lives because of it. They couldn't deal with it. We are people that are be gathered together. We are people that like other people. We are made that way. God has hotwired us so that we love to fellowship. And it's tragic. So I want you to listen once again to what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 5, look with me at verses 13 through 16. He says to his disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Now listen, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You ever think about that? You ever think about your life? You ever think about what's going on? Friday, I had a company come to look at the roof of the parsonage. Brother Billy had informed me that we needed a new roof. Now, I called the company that did the roof on this church. And they arrived on Friday. There was a lady who now is in charge of that company. Whoever was there is not there anymore. I don't know. I don't remember what she said happened. But anyway, nevertheless, she is in charge. So she had with her an individual, and she said, "He's going up. He's going to look at your roof and tell us about it." And so she said to him as she was walking away, she said, "Carlos, will you just simply," I believe his name was Carlos, said, "would you just look at that roof and tell us, tell me and tell Pastor if we have another year or two, because everything is so expensive right now. Can they wait another year or two?" And when he got to the top of the letter and reached over and began to touch the shingles, I saw him shake his head. "No, you don't have another year or two." And so she explained some things to me. But here's the kicker. I had been dealing with an issue here in the office that had frustrated me immensely in my life. And before we finished talking, I was at absolute peace. Absolute peace. And I told her, I said, "Guess what? You and I have had a mini revival in our lives." When all things were gone, and we'll eventually get the report, and I will eventually give it to you. Okay. But right now, I came back to my office, and I saw what I had been missing all morning. Solved the problem. Here's what he's talking about. That, Pastor, even though you are frustrated, even though you are dealing with issues that are giving you a struggle this particular time, my struggle wasn't necessarily so awful except I needed to be in this other office working. You are to be salt and you are to be light. You cannot give in to it in your life, no matter what. This particular lady was a blessing, not a problem. Third, things. Things. I simply wrote that and I said, ouch. Pastor likes things. You know that. Let me share you a little story. Abraham Lincoln. He was walking down the street, it is said, with his two sons who were crying and fighting. What's the matter with the boys? A friend asked. The same thing that's wrong with the whole world, Lincoln replied. I have three walnuts, and each boy wants two. Yeah. You betcha. That's kind of how the world is, isn't it? Things. What thieves they are. Listen to the words of Jesus. There was a group that came to him, and he had been talking to them along the way. And one of them said, God, I want you to do something. Can you just tell this brother of mine, get on a stick and share his inheritance? Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesses. Isn't that great? Yeah. He said, Billy, quit fretting about things in your life. Some of those things that pastor would like to have will never transpire. I know that. I have a lovely wife who helps guard my want-tos in my life. Jesus warned about building up treasures. We've already shared that. Thank you, Brother Robert. I told you, preach part of my sermon this morning. You absolutely did. Okay? Absolutely did. In Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21 says, lay not up treasures upon this earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, sometimes we just got to accumulate. We want more, we want more, we want more, don't we? And it ultimately leads to problems. Now let me give you the fourth one. This is the worst. Worry. Worry. This is the most deadly thief of all. Many people have been robbed of joy, of peace, and of fulfillment because of worry. Worry, my friends, is an inside job. You understand that? It's an inside job. You can purchase sleep. Go to the drugstore. They got all kinds of things to make you sleep. But you cannot purchase rest. Nobody has that for sale. Paul was a man who had plenty of reasons for worry. Yet, in spite of everything that befell him, he writes a letter filled with joy. And he's going to inform us how to stop worrying. Okay. Again, we're going to go to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 down through 34, you hang in. I'm going to read it, okay, because it's vital. Therefore, this is Jesus. Therefore, I say unto you, he's still in the Sermon on the Mount. Take no thought for your life or what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body than raiment? Behold, let me tell you why, folks. The fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of those. Isn't that great? God knows what we have need of. And then he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why worry? If God has got it in control, why are we worried? You know, I know that many of you have been on an airplane. Are you comfortable in an airplane? I hope so. But you know why you're not comfortable? Because you're not in control. You've trusted your life to a pilot and a co-pilot and staff that are trained to fly this thing that common sense says should not hold up in the air any more than the Rem Retriever out in the ocean that Glenn Knight and Summer have. Why should it float? That thing's made of steel. Why should it float out here in the water? Don't know. I don't know. But we trust our lives there along the way. But these thieves can rob us of having joy. Now we're going to find some answers as we study the four chapters coming up in this book. But let me just give you a little teaser. Is that all right? You just remember this. For chapter 1, it's all going to deal with the mind. Chapter 1 deals with a single mind. Here's what James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay, we know that, so we're going to get down. God says, get the mind right, get the mindset right, okay? Paul addresses many things. He says those circumstances in my life, and he addresses some of those. He said, they're not stealing my joy because I am living to please and serve Jesus Christ. Where are you? Chapter 2, the submissive mind. We have to turn it over to Christ, don't we? He's going to tell us, like in verse 4, look not every man in his own things, but every man in the things of others. That's difficult for us because we like ourselves, don't we? The reason people aggravate us much is usually because we don't get our own way. Yeah, that's the reason you get mad at your spouse, because she wants to do something else and you don't get your own way. Then thirdly, chapter 3, the spiritual mind. The mindset has to be where it needs to be, folks. Not on the world, but spiritual. 11 times in this chapter, chapter 3, Paul uses the word things. Things. And he points out that most people mind earthly things, don't we? Yeah. We mind earthly things. We want to be sure our house is clean because somebody's coming to see us. Yeah. We want to be sure we got whatever we need to cook for them because they're going to arrive. We got family coming in from Oregon, 1st of August. So, I was going to say Miss Jean and I will clean the house. No, we'll hire somebody to do it. We got great service here at church, and we just simply say, can you come over? I come in on bowed knee. Can you come over and clean the house for us? And they're there. But we'll get it all cleaned up. We'll get everything done and ready for them. Now, that's all right. But beware that that's where our mind is all the time. My house is dirty. This is in the wrong place. That's in the wrong place. You know I'm a neat dick, don't you? Okay. Absolutely. Miss Jean, not a neat nick, folks. I go into her office because I have to use her computer for an item or two that we have. And I look at it, and I pray, Lord, help me. I want out of here quickly. I love her dearly. And I cannot change her, and I would not change her. This is her. This is where she is. Those of you who are here, when Mike Yoho was pastor, he took this office right over here. I kept this office right here. I would come in Sunday morning. The door would be open, and I would say, Mike, close the door. I mean, there was stuff all over the floor and everywhere else. And it was driving me nuts. Now, I was a pastor at that time. I had no business doing that, and I apologized to him later on. But we get frustrated, don't we? But then the fourth chapter, power packs this thing and says, we'll deal with the secure mind. A mind that is secure. Worry, my friends, is actually wrong thinking, mind, and wrong feeling, the heart, about circumstances, people, and things. So we all need something to help guard us along the way. And Paul will help us to do that in life. In closing, with all of these thoughts in mind, Pastor, what should we do? Well, first of all, let me just say this. Be very, very sure that you are saved. Without question, without doubt, that you are a child of God. You have been born again. You have been born again. If not, you need to confess your sins, your condition to God, then call on Jesus to save you. Second, you need to surrender your life to Christ daily. Say, well, I did this last year. No. Daily surrender your life. And read the Word of God every day. And fellowship with God's people every week when your church doors are open. And I make no apology for saying that. You can get mad at me if you want to. But listen to me, my friends. You need to be in church when the doors are open. That's God's command, not your pastor's command. What happens to us? We get comfortable being at home. Guess what? I got to get dressed to come to church Wednesday night. I'll just listen to it on Facebook. I appreciate Facebook, but folks, it doesn't do the job. I've told you before that my dad came to hold a revival when I was in Arlington, the church I had up there. I had a couple that were in Quantico, great Christian people. They were stationed in Quantico, and they lived on the base. And in the course of that meeting, and one night my dad came to the conclusion of a sermon. And he said, I just want you to understand something, folks. That if you don't come to church on Wednesday night, guess what? You're worth about 10 cents a dozen to God. He and I had a little talk when we got home. This family was a great, great family. I said, Dad, why did you do that? He said, because God said it. Now, he didn't use 10 cents a dozen. But what he said was, get yourself in church when the church doors are open. You know what happened next Wednesday night? They drove up from Quantico to Alexandria where our church was. And they did it every Wednesday night as well as Sunday. Boom, 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 boom. As long as they were there and as long as they were members of the church. And I asked them about the second time. I said, you're coming on Wednesday night. And his wife said, I'm not going to be a 10-cent Christian. Dad taught me a great lesson. Thirdly, be joyful. Be joyful. You won't always be happy, but be joyful. get your personal life in harmony with God in every aspect of your life. Then you can live a life of full joy. You say, well, I have a lot of joy. No, you need full joy. And it only comes when you get your life in absolute harmony with God. Stand with me. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for your word. I am so thankful for the challenges, even in this pastor's life. So, Father, I want to walk in harmony with you. I want my every day, I want my every hour being where you want me to be, doing what you want me to do. And I pray that's the desire of every child of God here today. And I pray, Father, most of all, if there's any person here who does not know Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of sins, that they will come to know you today. And if they need to talk to someone, there will be someone up here who will help you make that decision for Christ. In his name, I pray. Amen.